We're running to the end of our time, and I'm wondering if you could take us out by telling us some sort of story like you would on the Grodio Rodeo.
I think I could do that. Do you have anything in particular that you want?
So I am not somebody who is very invested in trauma. I'm more like on resuscitation and the medical side of things. So bringing some trauma into it would be awesome.
Okay. So recently, I started at a new company because I wanted a different experience. The majority of my experience has been city and suburbs. So I decided to head on out to the boonies. So now I'm doing rural EMS. And I'm finding that while there's still a lot of medical calls, the caliber of trauma that I have been subjected to has been unreal. So we got called for a laceration call. And I'm like, okay, not that big a deal. And the partner that I have been placed with on, I think it was my Wednesdays, he is a little bit of a black cloud in a really weird way. And so we're heading on over, and all of a sudden, the state police get on the air and they're like, hey, we're gonna call a bird. And I'm like, we haven't even got there. Why are we calling a bird? We're coming down the street, and I see that there are people that are starting to head toward this house. There is also the lights of the state trooper car that are flashing in this driveway. So we pull up, and I look at the driveway, and I look at my partner, and I'm like, hey, bud, there is an uncanny amount of human Kool-Aid flowing down the driveway. Oh my God. So we end up backing the rig into the driveway. There is this kind of abandoned looking house. The field is very, the yard, which looks like a field because it is extremely overgrown. I'm all of 5 foot. So when the grass is a little taller than me, I'm starting to suspect that maybe I'm entering like a round of Jumanji, which is exactly what it felt like. So we get out of the vehicle. The troopers are like flashing and strobing their lights around. I'm not really sure if it's for us or if it's just trying to find this individual, but I walk over and this patient is doing like a wacky inflatable tube man dance rolling around in this yard. And we're like, what's going on? And they're like, he's bleeding. We don't know where it's coming from. We're trying to get him to hold still. He's combative. And I'm like, okay. So I'm walking over to this guy. I'm literally chasing this individual like around the yard because he's just like rolling. And I'm like, what are you doing? Stop moving. And he rolls his head back and his neck is wide open from like ear to nearly his clavicle. It looks like an Arby's number four with roast beef just hanging out all over the place. And my partner and I are like, oh my God, stop moving. Stop moving. And he's getting combative and he's like, don't touch me. Don't save me. And we're like, dude, like, what happened to you? Did somebody do this to you? Did you get hit by a car? Because he's just bloody head to toe. And I can't make if there's more injuries or if it's just this one. So I'm like holding his head. He's screaming at me. My partner is trying to hold him down. The police are still calling the bird. I'm like, we don't have time. So we ended up taking like a hyphen, which I love. I wish that all agencies would have them, but they're the hyphen chest seals, and we ended up like kind of using that to stitch the neck closed and then put a C collar on him. He was fighting us the whole way. I'm trying to put him on the stretcher. We end up having to seat belt and handcuff, and any way that you could restrain this individual, that's what we're trying to do. So we get him on there, and the trooper is like, I'll send my partner with you because obviously when someone's handcuffed, someone has to come. I'm like, okay. So we get him in, and he starts screaming and being irate with me for some reason. I'm not sure. I'm like, dude, I'm trying to help you. Why are you being mean to me? And he's like, I don't want to be saved. Let me go. And I'm like, you made this an outside problem. Now it's a me problem. Even though it's a you problem, it's an everybody problem. We got to go to the hospital. I don't want to go. I'm like, we're beyond that, bud. So we end up going. I asked my partner to go hot because this is one of those individuals where I'm like, I can't do sutures in the field. And if he keeps thrashing around, we're going to pull this band-aid right off. I'd rather just get there. So like I said, we're in the boons. I have to get to the city. That's easily a 45-minute gap. My partner is a phenomenal driver. He can make it in 30 max. So we're going, and I've got the baby trooper because it's a very young, very new to the force little baby trooper. And he's like, what do you want me to do? As he's holding his little hands out. I'm like, I'm just going to keep putting stuff in here, and then I'll let you know after we're done. The patient is thrashing so hard, he will not allow me to put any IVs in. And I'm like, listen, they're going to put him in the hospital anyway. Let me do it. No. Okay. So I call the doctor. I'm like, hey, this is what I've got. He really needs IVs. I'm concerned that we're going to have a hypotensive emergency. But he's very combative, borderline violent. He is restrained. Can I give him something to calm him down? Doctor's like, sure, give him ketamine. And I'm like, okay. I had not given ketamine up until this point. So I was like, and this is one of those moments where we talk about humility. I was scared. I was shitting my pants. But we're, you know what? We're going to straddle and we're going to go right into it. So I get off and I'm like, hey, buddy, doctor says it's time for your vitamins. Like, you're not getting a choice in this matter, but I like to let you know what I'm doing before I do it. All of a sudden, his demeanor changes and he looks over at me, exorcist style, and he's like, you're ready? And I'm like, what should I be ready for? Like, what possibly at this point could this individual be asking me, am I ready for? So I'm not going to lie. I was a little shook. And I look at the baby cop. He's a little bit shook too, because he's like, what should we be getting ready for? And I'm like, we're done asking questions. Here's your ketamine. I give him ketamine. He's fighting. And then he's like, I'm tired. And I'm like, you should fall into that nap that's beckoning you, buddy. Absolutely go with the flow on this one. And he goes out and I'm like, thank God. So I put the large bore IVs in him. I think I gave him a 16 and a 14 because I was pretty sure he was probably going to need blood products by the time we got there. Put it in. We start pulling into the driveway of the hospital and he starts waking up. And I'm sure you've witnessed this before where people start getting a little loopy and the things they're saying doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. So I'm thinking he's speaking in tongues and I'm like, get this guy out of my ambulance as quick as possible. We get him into the hospital. They put him on the bed. He's still a little bit groggy coming out of it. I leave the trauma room, but I like to stay because I like to see and hear what they're going to do. I hear this patient go, do I have IVs in me? And the doctor's like, yeah, the paramedic gave you two. And he goes, and that was the end of that story.
That was a great first K-hole story.
Absolutely. And I've given ketamine a few more times since then. So it's I'm less scared of it now that I've absolutely given it and gotten comfortable with how it looks, what it's supposed to do, how I'm supposed to administer it. So I guess that would also be a moral of the story, is outside of doing what is best for your patient, get comfortable with what's uncomfortable.
Absolutely. Embrace that discomfort and live in it. Anytime I'm put in a situation where I'm uncomfortable, I'm like, you know what? I have to grab the bull by the horns here, or I will never do it and never get over that hump.
Absolutely. And I think that's what makes you a good provider, is the willingness to step into that unknown and to step into what makes you uncomfy. Do it, because that is the sword and shield against the imposter syndrome. That's how you prove yourself that you do know.
I hope you stay on TikTok and keep telling these stories, not only because they're entertaining stories, but there's something to be learned here, is that nothing about this violated patient confidentiality. Nothing made the patient look bad. Nothing was toxic about this. There was no dark humor. It was simply a recounting of a story with, you know, a little bit of spice added to it. But it was a great example of how you can take on somebody else's trauma, where you can take on vicarious trauma and package it and put it back out in a way that it isn't toxic to anyone. It doesn't make you a worse person. It's a really great way to process information. And you set such a great example for how to deal with what we deal with on a daily basis, without allowing it to affect you in the wrong way. And I think what I'm actually going to do is, this may be a two-part podcast where I put that story out as a bonus, as bonus content. So, but that was amazing. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. And I'm sure you'd be willing to come on again if I ask.
Absolutely. Please feel free.
Awesome. This has been EMS Avenger 20 Minutes to Save the World, and we will catch you next time.
Bye.